Whether you're just delving into the world of voiceover,
you're an established voice actor,
or you just want to listen to some unfiltered thoughts and opinions about the industry,
then this podcast is for you.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Jen. And this is the Off-Air Podcast. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the Off-Air Voiceover Podcast. I put on a really weird voice when I do that as well.
What do you mean?
I just do that. I don't know. Like, I put on a character
voice. Do you know what it is? I think what it is, you know, because like you're reading out your title, it's almost like you do like game show host.
Yeah, yeah.
Do
and I think like, I'm also anticipating the fact that you won't join in and I'll be there on my Todd.
Yeah, yeah, but it'd be a bit flat if you're just like, all right, welcome to the Off-Air Voiceover Podcast.
That's true.
Like, okay, what's your problem? Cheer up.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's so true.
I know.
How you doing?
How's your week been? Well, go on. I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm just plodding on. I've got just... I'm okay. Yeah, yes, I'm okay is the answer to the question. I just feel like I'm juggling a lot of plates at the moment.
Yeah.
My sleep pattern is garbage.
Your sleep is awful. Like, I genuinely don't know how you're surviving.
I think at the moment I'm averaging about 4 hours sleep, so the brain fog is like up
it's
there.
Real. Yeah.
And I find it difficult to like when you get into that bit of a rut, when you feel a bit tired and stuff, you get lethargy kicks in and all that sort of stuff.
Definitely, but you're just knackered. Like, not even just lethargy,
yeah.
You absolutely
yeah, but
must
I can't,
be knackered.
Can't complain too much. I got it easy. I live by myself. You know what I mean? I've got no...
I know. Sort of I realise that.
Commitments
but,
to speak of.
Yeah, sleep.
Unlike
like
you on the other hand.
Yeah.
Easter holidays, kids.
Yeah, it's...
What about you?
Yeah, just that. So it's... I'm generally really good. But I am also... It is the middle of school holidays or the second week of school holidays here, and it's really tough. It's really tough juggling everything and keeping the kids happy and being selfish, or it certainly feels selfish when you're trying to do work. And also if you're trying to record, especially if it's you've got clients who want to connect and direct, being like muffling the children or getting them out of the house. It's challenging, definitely.
How old are your kids again?
They are 10 and 6.
Okay. So the thing is, if you probably get the 10-year-old
into
check,
she gets
a little bit easier than the 6-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we're lucky in the respect that I know that a lot of people listening to this will have toddlers and things who are impossible, and you can't. Mine are a bit more manageable, but you still don't want them just to be sitting on an iPad the entire day. It's still trying to work out how to make sure they have a good time. Stuff you got to get done though, isn't there? It is really tough. And then particularly tough, I think, when you look at social media or whatever and people are absolutely smashing out the park and you're like, I can't get on with stuff. And I'm also comparing to myself to people who aren't in the same situation, who do have more time. I don't know, bloody social media.
I think you just kind of said it. Like, that's the problem. I mean, listen, I can relate. Cause obviously, since we started the podcast, it's taken up a tremendous amount of my time.
I don't think we realised how much it would take.
I see social media, particularly Instagram, like as like your digital portfolio.
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was I noticed maybe 6 months ago, that I'd got myself into a situation where if I wasn't posting work regularly enough, it was almost as if I felt like I wasn't doing enough or I wasn't succeeding in the way that I'd like to. Meanwhile, all the people around me, they're posting stuff all the time. And I was like, you know what? I just took a step back. I was like, you know what? This is pretty messed up. I need to refocus this, because if I wasn't posting things and other people were posting a lot of things, oh, I've been signed to this agency, it started to affect me. I was like, shit, am I falling way off the wayside here? And I got to that point when I managed to finally sort of check myself. I was like, kind of almost, I'm gonna say laughed it off, but I just had that moment. Was like, you dick,
you realize,
what are you about?
Yeah.
You can't compare yourself to other people.
Apples and
everyone's
oranges.
Everyone's on their own journey. Everyone's got their own thing going on. You know, it's you just focus on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, enjoy the wins, accept the losses, but just continue riding the wave.
I actually but listening to a little old podcast by Stephen Bartlett. It was just a clip of it. And it was, I think it was around goal setting or something. But this lady, who I don't know who it was, because it was only a clip, said... about the feeling, that feeling of jealousy and envy that we have is a really good indication of where we want to go. And I think I've said this before as well, but like, you see other people on social media and you feel jealousy. And like, you might still be really happy for them, but you feel that sense of envy. And that helps you work out though where you want to go, where you want to put your energy. So if I see somebody posting an amazing animation they've done, that's an area I know I want to work in. So I might feel some envy. But that just shows...
That's not envy at them. Is that not a personal envy?
I don't begrudge them having it. No, yeah, but the thing is, so you see that and you think, okay, I know that's because I want to get there. And the reason the bad feeling comes in is because you think you can't. Uh-huh. Or a little voice inside you says, actually, then you can't do that. So it's like a frustration within yourself. That's what it comes out as jealousy.
But that's imposter syndrome, though. That's you thinking you're not good enough to do something that you can do.
Well, it's a slightly different thing, I'd say. But also, and you kind of have to switch it just to, like, they inspire me to be better. Yeah. So if I see that and feel that little bit of jealousy, I actually think, you know what? Fucking well done them. And how do I get that? What do I need to do to upskill or network or whatever to get that opportunity?
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I've seen some people do some stuff that I really want to get into, and I'm like, okay, I don't get angry or get jealous. I don't operate that way. What I do is I get angry.
Rage.
Yeah, I get angry at myself. Like, come on, you're not doing it.
And then the thing is,
see, this is where it's all about. And I think we're all a bit fucked up in our own ways in some minor capacity.
Nobody's ticking. Ways.
Nobody's running at optimum. We're all a little bit damaged in our own ways. But no, joke aside, I think I get angry at myself for not trying hard enough. And then I get quite downbeat on myself. And then the imposter syndrome will kick in. You know, am I not doing as well enough because I'm not good enough? And all these negative connotations. Yeah. And then you'll book a wicked job. And all that goes out the window. You laugh it all off and you think, what was I on about? And it's just that up and down.
Honestly, that roller coaster is a nightmare. And I still feel like that is something that I'm trying to manage. And we've hopefully got a guest coming on in a couple of weeks' time who has been doing this for a lot longer. And I really can't wait to hear what she says about this. But for me, riding that wave is a nightmare. Yeah, because like you, I'm like, I'm buzzing. I just got this amazing gig. And then like the week after, I'm like, I feel like I've not had anything for ages or, you know, and like, how do you keep that stability of mental health throughout? So we both know that the One Voice Awards were announced a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't get a nomination. And you did, yay! but it also, not only did you get a nomination, it felt like everybody in my entire feed got a nomination. And I knew this was coming. We talked about it on the podcast, and you know this is going to happen. But it doesn't help. Like, it does chip away a little bit your confidence. And you're like, oh, okay, okay, and you know it's not the be-all and end-all, but it does have an impact.
Yeah, but you see, if you felt downtrodden by not getting nominated, that's social media is not a great place to be for that week.
And I'm a glutton for punishment as well. And also because I genuinely am really chuffed for people, so I want to congratulate them because I feel it. But then also the back of your head, you're like, oh, I'm just not good enough.
No, it's not that at all.
I know, but that is the inner voice. That's the evil inner voice that tells you that. I know that practically and rationally, but that little evil voice, little fucker.
Like, I think for most people, especially when you get involved in this line of work, it was facing rejection head on.
Yeah.
Because obviously when you first start out, rejection's always a big part of our job.
Yes.
But as you get used, like, as you get more and more involved and the years go by, I don't think anybody can sit there and say, no, it doesn't bother me. It bothers everybody. Mm. The difference is you can forget about it and move on tremendously quicker. Yeah. But if you've got a job you've been gunning for and you get told, no, sorry, I haven't got it, I don't believe that anybody goes, hey, no problem, fantastic, let's go and have a party. No, you'd be like, there's a part of you like, oh,
I think it. A lot of it.
Well, then it's like, give it a couple of minutes, gone, move on. Yeah. Some people dwell on that for days and days.
But I think so as you say, it's all the time, isn't it? Rejection is all the time. And most auditions now, I do it and I forget about it, and that genuinely. But as you say, you have some jobs that you're really gunning for, you really want, and when or if you don't, you find out you don't have it, that is crushing. And then you have to for me, I have to think, okay, but what's next? So find the next opportunity, the next audition, the next thing that I can focus my brain on trying to get rather than dwelling on that, because otherwise it's a dark space, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think as well, it's having the ability to absorb that rejection and not take that feeling into your next audition.
Yeah, 100%, because you don't want to come across like desperate.
I didn't get the last one. Not so much that, but it's like, I didn't get the last one. So if you let your negative mindset continue to sort of win the argument, sometimes you could potentially go into the next audition already feeling like you've lost because you lost the previous one.
Yeah.
Overcoming that feeling and making it sort of, okay, well, this is like, almost sound a bit cliched or cheesy, but you almost kind of make it like your superpower. It's like, okay, I didn't get that one, but so what? It doesn't matter. It's like, every no is closer to a yes in that respect.
Yeah.
And I think, like, nowadays, it doesn't faze me. If I don't get anything, just couldn't care less. But obviously, there's an immediate bit of disappointment. Yeah. I'm human. Of course there is. We want to book them all, but we can't. But the beauty now is that if somebody says no, I'm just like, okay, no problem. Thanks very much for considering me.
Yeah.
I feel slightly a bit, okay, never mind. But I don't dwell on it at all and move on. But in the past, I think there was a point in time where, yeah, like if I got rejected for something, I feel that feeling of disappointment, I carried that into the next audition, almost feeling defeated before I even started.
Yeah, you can't do that, can you?
It's the mental side of this. I think it's something that grows stronger over time.
Yeah.
But if you're in, like, depending on what you might be going through,
it
can definitely manifest itself in a negative way. Yeah. If you're having a rough time, and like you said, you add in the social media side of it, a bit of imposter syndrome, it can really take its toll.
It can really take its own. And I think hormonally, for me as well, I have to say, like, it does depend on how I'm feeling as a person, as a human. That has a massive impact as well. So it's just kind of being mindful of all that stuff, which does affect a lot of us. I think you mentioned a little bit about this before, but that feeling of not doing enough, and I always have that. And
well, I know I don't do enough. I sometimes I look back at the week, what the fuck have you done with your week? But I don't do nothing. I don't sit on my laurels and like don't. It's just because I get so sidetracked with other things. Like I want to update my website all the time. I want to.
But that is,
you know,
doing stuff.
It is, yeah. But it is. It's all geared towards booking more work. Yeah, it is.
But I think
it's just the time, isn't it?
It is time. I don't feel like I'm working smart enough. Like, I have limited time. So how am I going to utilize it as best as possible? And I know I spend a lot of time like overthinking stuff or posting something on social media I don't need to. Or sometimes we spend a lot of time on the podcast. Like, should I be spending some of that time actually trying to get some jobs? You know, it's just getting the balance right, isn't it? And don't waste time. Like, think about how you're utilizing it. So for me, I need to do that. But I think, again, it's social media, but lots of other stuff. It's like, you could go on forever. Anything to do with this business, you could carry on growing it forever. And I just, for me, I'm not very good at stopping. So it's like, actually, I need to set myself smaller targets rather than like massive targets, which are unfeasible with the time I've got. Like how, and just doing that's challenging.
I've got this actual book here. It's called Atomic
Habits.
Oh
my God, same.
By Jane, have you got it?
Yeah, I've got it.
Right, so.
Haven't you had that for ages?
I've literally had it for about 4 years. I don't think I've read the first four chapters yet.
Well, when it's
but
good,
I still
though.
Swear by its principles. Yeah. So for those that don't know, Atomic Habits is basically improving by 1%. So just like what Jen said there, and I'm guilty of this, like I sometimes have a goal, right? And I'll say, right, this is what I want to achieve. But if I don't get there in a certain amount of time, I can maybe feel like I've failed. Like, okay, for example, like social media, for example. I'm bang on about this, but I'm talking about like staying consistent.
Yeah.
So like, for example, I don't have a consistent posting schedule on LinkedIn. Right. And it's like, okay, so rather than like trying to just get it all done in one go, what the book sort of teaches you to do is just do things in baby steps. Just make small incremental changes every day. So maybe just start off by doing one post a week, for example. Like TikTok, another one. It's like all these, and what happens is with all these different components, I get so overwhelmed, I end up doing nothing.
Yeah.
Or not nothing, but certainly nothing in comparison to what I'm trying to achieve. So now it's about breaking it down and going backwards and go, right, okay, so today, just make sure you do one TikTok video or one Instagram post, whatever, and then you build from there. Because I was like, right, I need to do five of this, 10 of that, and it's just like, doesn't happen, and then it's like, I've done nothing.
So I'm absolutely guilty of the same thing. So I think, thinking about like email marketing, for example, I want to send out emails to people, but then I can't send out generic emails, so I have to personalise it, obviously. But then I can't send out to like the general email box. I've got to send it to the particular person, so I've got to find that. So I've got to go to LinkedIn, but then do I like accept them first, and then I
people
go back
are
to that.
This is like, you two need fucking help.
But then I'm like, but then some people do videos. I'm like, that'd be really good to do videos. Maybe I should do a video. And like, that's my brain process. So, and then you're like, what the fuck? And then you don't send the fucking email. And if you just sent a basic ass email, at least they know you exist. Oh, it's exhausting.
Oh, God. It is exhausting. It really is. But, yeah, I think so. With all these different things trying to sort of juggle and... But we're all in the same boat. Like, we're not any special, so, you know, we're not special cases. Every other VO is in exactly the same boat, trying to be a freelancer, juggling everything. And again, this goes back to when you see people doing all these things and doing, like, consistency. There's a key word. Staying consistent.
It's honestly,
and you
my
see the results.
Word.
Yeah. And then you see these things, like, I'm trying to do these things as well, but I'm not consistent enough. And then you see other people who are consistent and are appearing in your feeds all the time. Then I'm just like, that's when I get angry at myself. Like, come on. And I don't know what it is. Like, I procrastinate. Like, I make this joke all the time, and I swear it's true. I have got a book on procrastination. I still haven't read it. Every day, I'll read a chapter tomorrow. Been saying this for 2 years.
Have you actually? Right. Is that genuine?
I swear to you,
mate.
I don't know where it is. It's around here somewhere.
Okay, I think
it's just,
should be like a task that you do for the podcast. Can I set your homework?
Chapter. I'm a very motivated, positive, driven person, right? I am, but sometimes I get so overwhelmed with trying to achieve so many things that I end up not doing anything. I just I just tire myself out. That's why I don't sleep that often, because my brain's just like
constant. Yeah, I think we've got that in common. Mark Scott, I don't know if anyone knows him, but he's a business and marketing guru from Canada. And I did a course with him ages ago. Yes, exactly. He's amazing. But I remember having a chat with him once, and he was asking me, like, one of his phrases is like, just do the damn thing, or darn thing, or something. He says very politely. Just do it. Like, what is holding you back from stopping you? And I think sometimes looking actually what is stopping you. Like, why are you procrastinating? What is it? And kind of going back to the root causes. And it can be really challenging to do, I think. And often it's like fear of failure or whatever. But like looking at that for yourself and thinking, actually, what is stopping me? So why am I massively overthinking this email? Why am I talking about like doing some kind of interpretive dance and sending it to them? Like, what is that train of thought?
It's definitely something to think about, without a shadow of a doubt. Because I think that, I'm like I said before, I'm very motivated, I'm very driven, I'm very positive. I carry a lot of optimism, but I'm only human.
Yeah.
I have my down days, you know, and I just, like I said, about trying to sort of disassociate, like I try and identify, like TikTok, for example. Years ago, I deleted TikTok. I was up to like 3 o'clock in the morning scrolling. I was like,
this is not a good idea.
Got rid of it. It's only recently I've brought it back into the equation. So I thought I'm going to try and start doing, because TikTok's massive for our line of work.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But again, what do I post videos about?
Like, yeah, people aren't going to care about me.
Isn't it? Yeah, to be fair, there's an element of that. Yeah. Like, you know, but I don't really know what to do. Like, I just, some people are so good at content creation. I'm just like, I just don't know. Like,
but it's so interesting.
I'm not even
it?
That old, but I feel old fashioned in that respect.
I remember when I first started doing VO and I was all over Instagram, like, I was really on it and I loved the creative side of stuff. I really enjoyed that. But I felt like a twat. I'm going to be honest. Like, doing a lot of stuff I did, I felt like a twat, but I also really enjoyed it. And I just thought, oh, no one's going to really care. And then I had so many voiceovers, either online or in person, coming up to me and saying, oh, it was amazing this thing you did. Or like, and clearly I'd managed to build my brand amongst voiceovers and I hadn't expected it. But I suppose you just don't know, do you? Like, you might feel like an idiot, but actually it might resonate with somebody, or someone else might think, oh, actually I feel less of a dick now because you look like a dick and it's okay.
Yeah, but I think you have to...
I've gone on a really random topic. Yeah.
It's like a gents
therapy
session.
Different podcasts.
You will never please everybody. It's just...
I really want to, though, Mike. I want everyone to like me.
Well, it'd be nice to, but you just... You simply can't. Like,
yeah, I know.
And you shouldn't want to, because...
I do, though.
You know.
I'm a needy person. That's why I'm an actor. External validation is how I survive.
Boy, I suppose, like, going full circle.
This is literally my therapy, isn't it? This is, I told you I was all over the place. My brain, these last couple of weeks, is just crazy.
But I suppose going in that respect, going full circle, going back to you're saying about this external validation, and it's, I suppose, like, I think it's important to try and, if you feel that you, I'm not talking about you, but I'm just saying, I'm just generalising.
You're my counsellor.
I'm probably sort of talking about you, actually. If you feel you need external validation, I guess it's trying to, I don't know, I say understand why, but you see that is the problem, because then if you don't get it, what negative state does that have on you, and how do you take that forward? Does that affect you in your work?
Yeah, and I think that is really challenging, and I think it's a balance thing. If being really honest in my counselling session, I think I'll always have a need for some kind of need for external validation, but it's making sure that you have enough self-worth. And I think as I've got older, I've managed to build that, because I'm not sure I had a great deal of it when I was younger. And it's kind of building that and knowing you are good enough. And I think I know that a lot of people feel like this. And sometimes it's just saying, I am good enough.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you've got to still say that when you're not getting the validation.
Yeah, you do. And that's something.
That's the key.
And it's like teaching kids, isn't it? Like standing in front of the mirror and saying, I'm good enough. And it, yeah, it's hard, and it can, like, you know, it can be out of you. And like, we've chosen one of the worst professions for this. If somebody who doesn't have a great deal of self-worth to go into a profession where you're constantly being rejected, it's great.
You really didn't think that one through, Jen, did you?
It's a calling, Michael. It's a calling.
Have you ever found it where you've had a job to do and you've gone into that job feeling maybe a combination of a bit anxious, or probably more importantly, feeling like you're not up to par, or you're not, I don't know, like going back to that idea of not good enough, or you're out of your depth. Have you ever gone into a job feeling like that and then felt that that feeling has come out in your performance?
Yes, probably. I think I had it a lot more when I was doing like on-screen acting. But I know when I did my first gig in voiceover, and I was still kind of doing more acting stuff rather than voice acting. And I applied for a role and got it, an audition, and it was at Pitstop Productions, and it was for a video game for English language. And I was like one of the lead characters, and it was honestly the most amazing gig. But I had no experience in voice acting. And I was really nervous, really exciting. And they were so lovely, and it went fine. And they asked me back, and it was kind of a reoccurring character. And I did that a few times. And then I think one of the last sessions, they were like, actually, we've got some other characters. Can you voice them? And I was so unprepared for this that it was like, what? And I ended up, God, honestly, I cringe inside still. I lie awake at night thinking about this. But it was the most basic thing ever. And now I wouldn't have an issue doing with it. I just want to point that out. But then they're like, can you do some different accents or some different characters? Froze. I absolutely froze. And they were like, I mean, maybe just like an RP. And I did RP. I sounded like the fucking queen. It was like... honestly, the most extreme, like, hello. It was just awful. Nobody talks like that apart from the queen. And now it wouldn't be an issue, but for then, fuck me. So I can't remember what your original question was, but yes, I wasn't good enough. And I felt it. So,
turns out your anxiety was right.
It's true. But the more you know, the more you realise you need to know. But
yeah, I guess so.
Yes.
I remember one of my first ones. In 2019, I did this project for Man City Football Club. It was called the Freestyle World Tour. They were like these YouTube shorts, like 5-6 minutes long. And essentially what they were doing, they were getting Man City players, and they were setting these football challenges for these football freestylers, and these guys were going off around the world. I was narrating it. So for me, it was a massive thing. Like, first ever big client, big project. It's football related, so I'm super excited and everything. Loving it. First episode, it was all a last minute booking. It was all rush. So the first one I did from home, and they were like, for all subsequent episodes, we need you to come to London each month. I was like, yep, sweet, no problem. So they had me booked in for episode 2. And around about that time, I was dealing with, like, I was having like these sporadic panic attacks for rhyme or reason. It was obviously off the back of what had happened the year before.
Yeah.
But I was going through it, like, and it was, you know, it was uncomfortable. It was a stress. It was a problem. But it never really affected my work until I got this booking. So off I go to London for this recording episode. And whenever one of these, like, I'd have one of these situations, all I want to do is just be in my own, like, sort of safe space, like, just in my own environment. So the idea of going to London with a bunch of strangers locked in this little room was, like, the worst possible, like, thing you could ask for. So anyway, I get there. I'm not doing good at all. Like, I'm anxious off the charts. Now, if you search this, because you can hear the difference in my voice, episode 1 is Freestyle World Tour in Jakarta. And it's more like, this is Andrew Henderson, world champion football. And it goes on. Whereas if you listen to episode 2, because I was so anxious, I was like, welcome to the Freestyle World Tour. It's like an audio version of, you know, that donkey from Winnie the Pooh that just looks depressed all the time. It was like he was narrating it. So anyway, we get through the session and I was just like, I can't do this again. All I want to do is just get out of there. But I, you know, because it was such a horrible experience,
you know, I thought, I've got to get, like, over this. I've got to beat it. I've got to sort of, you know, get past it, because it can't affect my work in this way, because it was, you know, it was a horrible experience. And then when I went back for episode 3, I felt tremendously better. Like, he's back, because it was just bang, punchy again. But yeah, what an experience. And that was the first time I'd ever had something like, you know, like a, what I sort of define as a mental health thing, affect my work. But yeah, it was horrible. But I started to worry that I was going to then carry that with me to any other session that I go to, like, what now? So, because it's happened once before, like, it leaves an imprint on your brain. So what, next time I go to a session, is this going to happen again?
Yeah.
And it almost makes you not
that's
want to
so
do
weird,
it.
Isn't it?
So that's why I sort of made a conscious effort to, like, right, no, okay, we've got to sort of address it head on and not make it a thing anymore. Thankfully, it's not happened since. But yeah, no thanks. Don't want to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's
again.
Amazing. I guess it is going to is telltale, isn't it? The voice. My experience wasn't the same, but even last week I had a recorded session with a new client, and we'd done a sound check the day before, and then I got on the session, and the first thing they said to me was, "Oh, we're going to move over to a video link." Okay, fine. Although I was not looking very video presentable, and then they asked me if I could speak German, and I was like, no, I can't speak German. And that was fine. They could speak English. They were lovely, by the way. But then they brought on the client who was German. And so it was those two speaking German and me speaking English. And, you know, you're just like, oh my God. And then because they had the video, they wanted to do it timed. And I wasn't prepared for that. And I was like, oh my God. And it turns out actually he did it in the end. But, you know, you're like, they're doing the beeps and you're like, fuck me. I just wasn't expecting it. And I was completely blindsided. You're like, okay, so how do I, so next time, how do I prepare myself if something similar happens? But for a split second, I was like, I am going to fuck this up.
Right, Sunshine, let's wrap it up. So,
how's your mental health,
that's
Michael?
Another week.
You feeling better?
Hey.
Mental health-wise, feeling good? Check in. We should
thanks
have a little like scorecard. It's like, I am now a smiley face. yeah, thank you for the counselling. I feel
today
like there's
I
a
feel
worrying amount of honesty in this episode.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, got to be honest. You got to be honest. Because the thing is, I obviously, I don't know as to how much, but I would bet there's a few people that could listen to some of that and probably relate to it.
Yeah, I know,
it,
I'm not
you know what
alone.
I mean?
Definitely.
Well, yeah, definitely. Because, well, anyway, there we go. So, anyway, thanks very
see
much for listening
week
to another episode of The Voice. Oh, God, done it again. I've enough. The off-air
voiceover
podcast. It's because we added the voiceover.
I know,
it's confusing. Keep fixating
it
on that first.
It doesn't flow quite as well, but it is necessary.
So I didn't want to use it at first, but I think it's necessary. It's there.
It's good. It's ours. We're proud.
It's ours.
I will see you next week.
See you next
bye
week.
Bye, Mikey.